Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to the Andy Staples Show. It's another Tuesday night ranking reaction, and if you wear green and white, you certainly have a reaction to tonight's ranking, Matt Fortuna. Really not a lot going on in the rankings. We expected Michigan State to drop. We expected Oregon, Ohio State, Cincinnati to move up. But a week after the committee honored pretty much every head-to-head result and continued to honor the Oregon, Ohio State head-to-head result, they decided to put Michigan ahead of Michigan State. It was 9 days ago that Michigan State beat Michigan.
Same record overall, same conference record. And oh, by the way, just to add insult to injury, they announced this at Madison Square Garden minutes after Michigan State's men's basketball team lost their season opener to Kansas. So it was a double dose of heartbreak for Sparty tonight. Look, this thing wouldn't work. This thing wouldn't be what it was if they did everything according to how the AP poll or how me and you and everyone else who tuned in tonight thought it should go. I've said it again. This is a TV show. There's a reason
I don't subscribe to that conspiracy theory that they're doing it just for the TV show. Stuff like this makes me think everybody with the conspiracy theories might be right.
Exactly. Like, that's what I'm saying. There's no way you could justify this. None.
Yeah. I'm the one who always says, no, they're not going, well, we can't make a TV show with this. It just looks too close to what you did last week. We can't possibly put this on TV. I've always said, no, that's not what they do. When you do stupid stuff like this, it makes me think the conspiracy theorist might be right.
Yeah, I mean, it's I don't have like the scientific formula to how they come up with this. I don't think anyone does, which is part of the problem with the college football playoff selection committee. Exactly. But again, there's a reason like coaches, like I was with Wake Forest last weekend, like, hey guys, did you watch the playoff show last week? You were undefeated. Like you could play your way into the playoff. And a couple players were like, yeah, we were home and watched it. Or others said, no, we had class and watch it. And Dave Clough was like, no, I had a meeting then. Like it's not one of those like old coach speak, like don't pay attention to the outside noise. It's like, no, it really doesn't affect us whatsoever. And frankly, with Michigan State, when you have the opportunities in front of you that they have with games at Ohio State, a game against Penn State, and if they win both those, probably a Big Ten championship game, they technically do control their own fate, as does Michigan, which makes this a moot point. But I've said this last week when we did the show. Like, I'm glad Oregon's ahead of Ohio State because of the head-to-head and because of the same records. And because Ohio State hasn't exactly taken off the way I think that everyone thinks they eventually will take off. But I could justify Ohio State over Oregon if you want me to make that argument for you. I cannot justify Michigan over Michigan State for you.
10 days,
whatever it was, yeah.
Yeah, so watch your back, Ducks, by the way. Don't feel comfortable being ahead of Ohio State. I mean, that's basically what they're telling us, because nothing materially changed other than Michigan State lost, okay? So Michigan State now has the same record as Michigan. But they played, and Michigan State won. You know what Michigan didn't do? Score more points than Michigan State when they played 9 days ago.
If only there was a way to measure these guys against each other, like a football game. Like, yeah. They spent, a half hour, they said, talking about this? If only they could play for 3 or 4 hours on the most watched game,
right?
I think, in the entire country this season.
We could have settled that in a minute. And here's the thing. If they weren't honoring the other head-to-heads with similar records, like, I know somebody's going to say, well, what about Texas A&M and Alabama? Texas A&M beat Alabama. Yeah, but Texas A&M's got 2 losses and Alabama's got 1. Mm-hmm. I bet if Alabama had 2 losses, they'd have Texas A&M above them. You know, they have Baylor above BYU. Both of them are 2-loss teams. Baylor beat BYU. They have Oklahoma State above Baylor. Now, Oklahoma State's still 8-1. BYU lost, Baylor lost another game. But here's my thing, Matt. Would Baylor be number 13 right now, having just lost to a TCU team that fired its coach 6 days earlier, if they hadn't beaten BYU and the committee honored the head-to-head?
No, I don't think so. You know, we could do these hypotheticals all night long, because at the end of the day, this is whatever they say it is, and we just got to sit back and listen and complain about it on podcasts and Twitter after. I will say this, to justify the committee, Michigan has a better loss than Michigan State. Let's face it.
That's true, because Michigan's loss is to Michigan State.
Who's the number 7 team in the country? Oh, and Purdue got in. No, that's not a bad loss anymore.
Yes. Purdue is now number 19. Here's the thing. We're not this mad about it. I'm being a little dramatic tonight, because that's because this is a show. It's sort of like them coming up with a really stupid move in the rankings because they got to have a TV show. So we got to have a podcast. So we're going to get excited and upset about it. But the truth of it is, as you pointed out, Matt, Michigan State and Michigan will sort itself out. If Michigan State beats Ohio State, or Michigan beats Ohio State, they'll jump. If Ohio State beats one or both of them, it won't matter. They'll fall. If Michigan loses to Penn State this weekend, they'll fall. Michigan's going to Happy Valley. Michigan has not played well in Happy Valley recently, you know, other than last year, which, you know, weird situation. But the home team has been the team that wins in that series for the most part. So,
by the way, you're leaving out a pretty big game between two ranked Big Ten teams that could completely flip this entire thing on its head this weekend. Purdue at Ohio State.
Oh yeah, that's right. That's right. Let's not forget. There was a 28-21 Purdue Ohio State game
That's the last game Purdue Ohio State lost in the Big Ten. 24 Big Ten games ago, 2018.
Wow. Man. I was thinking further back, but yes, you're right. The Rondale Moore game does loom large, and Purdue has proven to be a giant killer so far this year. And Ohio State, and this is part of the reason the rankings look the way they look. You know, Alabama, there's not a ton of justification for them at number two, other than none of the other teams have looked that great. And Ohio State showed a lot of flaws in the escape at Nebraska. Cincinnati showed a lot of flaws escaping from Tulsa. You know, it's tough to figure out where Oregon has shown a lot of flaws. I mean, their loss to Stanford is the worst loss of any team in the top 10, right?
After Friday, I don't know how you can argue otherwise. I mean, Stanford is broken right now. It's tough to watch.
Yeah, so that's the thing. There's not a lot of good options for the committee, and there weren't going to be a lot of interesting moves. I don't think they did this, but could they have just said, look, we got to make this a little more interesting, Matt, because everyone just assumes we're going to drop Michigan State to right above Michigan and push everybody up, and that'll be that?
It's funny,
and
because
no one will have anything to talk about?
I have a couple schools of thought with this. One is, there's a lot of, you know, in the same vein as the conspiracy theories, there's a lot of, you know, brand bias, or so we think, right? Mm-hmm. Oh, Alabama's only number two because they're Alabama. Ohio State's ahead of Cincinnati because they're Ohio State. I think we've seen Ohio State at their best this season, and it's such a good football team, or such an electric football team, at least offensively, that you can convince yourself into thinking this team, on its best day, could go all the way.
Playing against teams that stink, we've seen them at their best. Good teams.
That's fair. I'm just saying, even before their loss to Michigan State, I didn't see anything for Michigan this year that like blew me away. Like, it's not like there's this, like, the eye test with Michigan doesn't work for me. Like, they have not beaten anyone. Nebraska on the road?
The advanced stats love Michigan for some reason. Like, S&P Plus, FPI.
It would be nice if they could say that. Michigan. If they could say that and justify it and say, we use these, then that would make sense. Because the Michigan team I watch week to week, I mean, they're fine. I don't want to criticize them. But I haven't seen anything that says, you know what, they look so good that despite their loss to Michigan State, we're going to keep them ahead. Like, there's nothing that has convinced me that the Wolverines, and again, this will play itself out, but there's nothing that's convinced me the Wolverines are a playoff team or a legitimate contender this year.
I didn't mention Michigan State also has to play Penn State, too. That's another one. I mean, so the Big Ten East, there's there's a lot of golf left.
Surprised Penn State wasn't ranked, by the way.
Only 3 weeks left of the season.
Surprised Penn State wasn't ranked.
They weren't, but they may wind up being ranked. And yeah, I mean, Auburn's ranked.
Right.
I believe Penn State beat Auburn head-to-head, so...
Who's Auburn beat them?
I think if Penn State beats Michigan, I would bet... Here's the thing. If Penn State beats Michigan, what do you want to bet that Penn State is ranked ahead of wherever Auburn is? And if Auburn beats Mississippi State, like, Auburn goes up to, like, I don't know, they'll be maybe above Ole Miss, which they beat, but Ole Miss has...
That's their only big win, though, right? Auburn's? LSU's a big win.
But let's say A&M beats Ole Miss, so they'll have 3 losses, so Auburn's going to jump them. And then I bet they just put Penn State 1 spot ahead of Auburn if Penn State beats Michigan.
That would make some sense. But the one part of it that I think a lot of the public, ourselves included, don't always fully grasp, that I think is genuine with this committee, is I truly do think there's nothing last week affected this week. Nothing this week will affect next week. I truly think they go in there with a blank slate every week and look at the entire body of work on its own, independent of however they rank these teams. Whereas when me and you are doing our ballots.
I agree with that, but the fact of the matter is they are what bothers me is they're respecting head-to-head everywhere else, and they're not doing it.
Oh, complete. Yeah. Just saying, as far as, like, I could justify Penn State being ranked so high next week because of the scenario you just put out.
Because if I'm Ohio State, I'm sitting there going, well, we're better than Oregon. I know we lost to them.
Right.
But have you watched us play, and have you watched them play? We play this game 100 more times. We're going to win it 78 of them. So... Like, if you're going to do that with Michigan and Michigan State, why are you not doing that with Oregon and Ohio State? And again, I'm playing devil's advocate here because I think Oregon should be ahead of Ohio State. So I just – this is the first time that I've really thought, oh, my God, they're just doing this to make a TV show.
I don't disagree with you. I mean, here's the funny thing about this. Like, they're – how do I say it? It's not the most – I think this goes for most public-facing leaders in college sports. Not the most political savvy or PR savvy people. I think we can all agree with that. The story today should have been Cincinnati moved up. We thought they were done. We thought number 6 was as high as they could get because that schedule's not that good the rest of the way. They've already played their best games. There's no way they can play their ways up. They got lucky to beat a terrible Tulsa team, and they moved up 1 spot. Like, that should be the lead right now. The headline should be, not done yet. Maybe they're right. Maybe they don't hate the group of five.
Right.
Maybe they have a chance if everyone in front of them keeps losing. And instead, we're talking about Michigan and Michigan State, who will both probably lose Ohio State and render this discussion completely irrelevant a couple weeks from now. But that's the predicament that the committee put themselves in. Like, they couldn't even – the same way the people in charge of a playoff still haven't pushed through the goalpost and gotten a 12-teamer done yet. They're still hung up on other models. They couldn't even take this, like, low-hanging fruit victory lap of, hey, see, we told you. And by the way, UTSA is ranked this week as well. We don't hate the little guys.
Meep. About Cincinnati, we need to talk about them because you're right. They did move up. They are now in striking distance. And let's talk about how in striking distance they are, because you've got an Oregon team that has not been terribly consistent, that makes the games that should be easy hard. And they're going to have to play Utah at least once and probably twice. They're going to have to play a good Oregon State team that – how good is Oregon State that they're 5-4 and firing their defensive coordinator midseason? Like, how much have the standards risen in Corvallis? Like,
Pac-12 in general is just on another one this year when it comes to firings.
Yeah. So you've got that situation going on. So it's very plausible that Oregon could lose the second game.
Yes.
And Cincinnati's up there. It's also possible that Alabama loses the Iron Bowl or just loses to Georgia and Atlanta if they win the Iron Bowl. So that's the other piece of this is, like, Cincinnati's kind of in the catbird seat. Like, I'd say it's a better than 50-50 shot that one of those things I just said happens.
I think that's possible. I still, like, even if it's to Georgia, I'll still believe they put undefeated Cincinnati over 2-loss Alabama when I see it. Like, I just, I don't.
See, I think they just will. I don't. I'm not.
I think you got a little more faith in these people than I do. I just can't. I can't see that. What I do think will happen, or I shouldn't say will happen, but definitely could happen, No one's talking about Oklahoma. Still undefeated.
That's what I was going to say.
In a very top-heavy Big 12, and they haven't played any of those teams yet.
I just called up Oklahoma's schedule. So Oklahoma's climb begins right now. They've got Baylor this week in Waco. They get Iowa State and Norman the following week, and then they're in Stillwater for Bedlam for maybe the first of two editions of Bedlam.
They're going to play one of those three teams again, probably.
So if they go 4-0 in that stretch, that's a playoff team.
I think if
they're
going
to be ranked number three or number four.
If they go 3-1 and the one loss isn't in the Big 12 title game, I think they're in.
I think there's a real good chance they're in. I think you're right about that because they have not – what we keep saying about them is they haven't looked great, but they haven't hit the meat of their schedule yet. So if they can – it doesn't and at this point, I don't think, Matt, it matters if they look good winning these games.
Not right now.
They just have to win them.
No, because, again, there are three Big Ten teams ahead of them. Two of them will be below them with another loss. If all records are being equal, they'll be ahead of Cincinnati. And Alabama, if they lose another game, and Oregon's hanging on for dear life right now. So I think Oklahoma's a wild card in all this. Again, if they lose just one of their next three games, they're going to be in the Big 12 title game. And assuming they play the team that beat them, you avenge that loss and get a conference championship on your resume, you're getting it. I mean, at least this year.
It's crazy to think how compressed this is getting, Matt. There's 3 weeks left of the regular season. There are three Saturdays left in the regular season. You know, we're Thanksgiving is 2 weeks from Thursday. So there's a lot that could possibly happen. But the schedules in certain conferences are so backloaded that there's a lot that could happen. And I think that's the thing. Any kind of speaking in absolutes right now, well, I can't believe you have this team here because of this and this and this. It isn't going to matter. Like I said, I'm yelling and screaming about Michigan State because for the same reason that they put them below Michigan to give us something to talk about. But the fact of the matter is, there's a lot of action left. And let's talk about Notre Dame. And I don't think Notre Dame can make the playoff now. I don't think there's any way Notre Dame makes the playoff at 11-1. But an 11-1 Notre Dame can sure as hell help Cincinnati make the playoff.
Yeah, I mean, I thought after last week it was an incredibly thin needle that they would have to thread to even have a chance. I also thought, based on last week's rankings, which of course had nothing to do with this week's rankings as they proved by moving Cincinnati up, I thought, well, they have so little respect for Cincinnati. Even though Cincinnati won at Notre Dame by double digits, I wouldn't rule out 11-1 Notre Dame being ranked ahead of 12-0 or 13-0 Cincinnati by season's end just because Cincinnati, I did not think, had an ability to play its way past number six. Clearly, that's not the case. The problem for Notre Dame is they play at Virginia this week, which is a tough game, especially if Brennan Armstrong is playing. They could definitely lose that game.
Well, is Brennan Armstrong playing is the question.
Correct.
Right? That's a up-in-the-air thing
now. But, I mean, after that, it's Georgia Tech and Stanford. So there's nothing they can do to improve their lot as far as the opponents they're playing. Now, let's see. Wisconsin's still up. Wisconsin and Purdue are both ranked. Both are teams. They're tied for first in the Big Ten West, both of which Notre Dame has beaten. And Virginia will work in this scenario too. Virginia can get smoked by Notre Dame, win at Pittsburgh the next week, beat Virginia Tech, go to the ACC title game, win the ACC. That's a win over the ACC champions for Notre Dame. Wisconsin, probably the favorite of the Big Ten West right now. They have the easiest remaining path. I don't think they're going to beat Ohio State or Michigan State, but if Wisconsin wins the Big Ten, the Big Ten is pretty much eliminated. That's a three-loss Wisconsin team that got smoked by Notre Dame. So it's going to take both those scenarios probably a Cincinnati loss, and then probably Alabama losing, Oregon losing as well to knock out the Pac-12, and Alabama losing in convincing enough fashion to Georgia where you really have no choice. Because I think all things being equal, 11-1 Notre Dame with this schedule and no 13th data point or conference championship to show for it doesn't have a chance. But there's a chance for chaos elsewhere.
Let's move down a spot and talk about another one-loss team that I think if they go undefeated the rest of the way, they're going to be in the playoff.
Okay, State.
And that is the Oklahoma State Cowboys. Yeah, they were dominant on defense at West Virginia. And I realize West Virginia doesn't have the best record in the world, but West Virginia has played everybody tough.
Beat Iowa State the week before.
Yep. So they've got TCU, which did just beat Baylor and looks different with Chandler Morris playing quarterback. But that's in Stillwater. Oklahoma State should be able to win that one. They've got Texas Tech that has fired Matt Wells and hired Joey McGuire in the interim. And then they've got probably Bedlam 1 and Bedlam 2. They don't have to go to Norman for any of that. So I realize what the record in that series is. I get it. But if they win the rest of their games, they are going to the playoff.
I agree completely. I think they're in great position right now. I think as much, quote-unquote disrespect that the committee has shown Oklahoma so far, it's shown some pretty decent respect for the top half or the upper echelon of the Big 12. I mean, Baylor did not take a big hit this week with its loss. So I think that puts really Oklahoma and Oklahoma State in a really good position. I think both, control their own destiny, for lack of a better term. I think if either one of those went out, definitely in Oklahoma's case, they're in. Oklahoma could probably afford a mulligan, but I think if Oklahoma State wins out, no question about it, they're in. But the one I did want to bring up that I also think shocked me this week, and maybe there's a path for them. I don't think there is, but there might be. Wake Forest only dropped 3 spots after losing to a now 5-4 North Carolina team in a non-conference game. And there's a lot of meat left on the bone for them. This week they play NC State at home. That's the first game between ranked ACC teams this season. And it's going on the ACC network against Notre Dame, Virginia on ABC. So I don't know if anyone's going to watch it. But they've got that. They then go to Clemson, who's still technically alive, to win the Atlantic. They go to BC, who is a very formidable team with Phil Dracovic back.
And remember, the loss to North Carolina is not a conference loss.
Correct.
Wake is still undefeated in ACC play.
Correct. And if they win out, even if they don't win out, they're probably still going to win the Atlantic if they win this week. Pittsburgh's ranked. And that's right now their most likely opponent. It could be Virginia. It could be North Carolina again if things break a certain
Whoever
way.
Whoever it is probably going to be ranked by the time they get there.
If it's Pitt or Virginia, yes. So that's multiple ranked wins still left to be had when you're number 12 and you have not been really all that penalized for, I wouldn't say giving away a game, but if you score 55 points, you should win that game. So that one surprised me because I thought I frankly could have envisioned the scenario where Wake's down to like 20 after one loss. Like, I just did not think the committee would have had this much respect for Wake so far, but apparently they do.
While we're spinning fantasy scenarios, let me give you another one. And this is, I mean, the stars have to align, obviously, but this is doable. Texas A&M beats Ole Miss this week. Wins out, which also would include a win against LSU, which, as Alabama showed, is not that easy necessarily, especially if LSU.
This could be his last game,
right? Can you imagine if Scott Woodward is still trying to get Jimbo Fisher to come to LSU at that point? Like,
oh, he will. He still will be. I don't think we need to imagine that.
Oh, he will. So I think the guys will play for Coach O that night. So you got that. So let's say Texas A&M wins all those games. Auburn beats Alabama in the Iron Bowl. Texas A&M, which if they're winning all these games, it means they're playing really well.
They beat Alabama, yeah.
Yeah. Maybe they beat Georgia. Texas A&M and Georgia both make the playoff in that scenario.
A&M's absolutely in if that happens. Now they need
to be the first two-loss team to make it. It's the 2017 Auburn scenario is what it is.
Yes.
It's that Auburn in 2017, had they beaten Georgia in the SEC championship game, would have made the playoff as a two-loss team. So that's what's going to happen. But, I mean, the odds of it happening like that.
They don't control their own destiny.
Saturday.
Right. They just don't control their own destiny. I could see them winning out. Asking Alabama to lose on top of you winning out and then beating Georgia, it's a lot. It's possible, but it's a lot.
Yeah. The and then beating Georgia part, which comes into play with Alabama as well, if they wind up winning the West, is the tricky part.
Can you imagine an A&M Georgia SEC title game? At least one playoff spot on the line. Well, Georgia would be in no matter what, but a playoff spot on the line in AM's case. And as good as those two defenses, as good as those two defenses have been, an SEC title game between Stetson Bennett and Zach Calzada as your quarterbacks.
The city of Atlanta would be rocking that weekend. That would be just
meanwhile, you've got in the night game probably Wake Forest against Pitt or Virginia, and any three of those quarterbacks could potentially be playing for a Heisman spot. And no defense whatsoever.
And nobody's going to watch that game.
Oh, I don't
know.
Well, yeah, probably because they're going up against the Big Ten. But that'd be a fun game.
They'd be watching the Big Ten game.
It would be the best ACC title game in probably 10 years, at least.
Here's the deal. As silly as I think what they did Tuesday night was, I think everything's still in line to let everybody sort it out with the games they play. And especially, like, we talked about Cincinnati, and I said this Saturday night after the games, and I'll say it again. If Cincinnati plays the way it has the last 3 weeks against SMU and Houston, it's going to lose one of those games, and then there will be no argument to be had. Right. So they're going to have to get it tightened up and win those games, and then we can have the argument. But where they are now at number 5, there may not even need to be an argument.
I'm still surprised they moved up, especially with that performance. I thought, I hate to be overly critical of the little guy or to put more pressure on a Group of Five program, but that's the system we're in right now. You've got to do
They moved up Oregon that didn't look good against a bad team, and they moved up Ohio State that didn't look good against a bad team. So what's the difference?
Both those teams have losses. They're still ranked ahead of Cincinnati. I mean, that's a difference.
Alabama didn't look good against a team that fired its coach.
They didn't. You're right. But the difference is, I mean, Cincinnati's best wins are behind them. I mean, Oregon has a better win than Cincinnati because they beat Ohio State. Ohio State does have a better win than Cincinnati, though.
But Ohio State could get a win or several wins.
Yeah, no, they could. But I mean, right now, like, I just think
that would compete with that.
I thought, especially with game day there, it was like, all right, this is the statement moment. Like, Tulsa's not very good. You got to win, what was the spread, 21 or something? Like, you got to lead, no doubt. And they were lucky to even win that game.
And the way that game ended was so hideous. That's the issue. But again, they're number 5. They're in striking distance. We don't have to do the poor little Cincinnati thing. Like, if you keep winning, the chances are better than average that you will make it in the playoff. If you lose, then it's your fault.
It's unfortunate that I think Michigan State hosts Penn State on the last week of the season, which means game day will probably go to like the Iron Bowl or another big rivalry. But I would like to see, and this is no disrespect to him, but it kind of is, I'd like to see if Michigan State fans can outdo Cincinnati fans with their signage for Gary Barta, if it were to come down to that. Because that guy really took it on the chin this week.
Oh, yeah. I think they could. How could game day not respect the Land Grant trophy? That's my question.
As a Penn State graduate who has seen that thing in person, what's not to love about it, right?
Who doesn't love the entire Land Grant system as a graduate of a Land Grant university? So, I think everybody's still got a shot. What do we got? I'd say you say Wake Forest has a real path still.
It's not eliminated, which I thought it was.
So I don't think Notre Dame does, but if we're going to say Wake Forest does, I think we can say Notre Dame does too. So let's say 12 teams have a chance to make the playoff with 3 weeks left in the season. That's a lot better than it has been.
You know what would be nice? A system where 12 teams make it.
Well, and this is where people are, but then it wouldn't be interesting.
Yes, it would. No. 25 teams would have a chance.
We'd be talking about 40 different teams with the potential to make the playoff at that point.
Be right there, yeah.
Well, Utah would be in a situation where it would go to a one-game scenario to win
Pittsburgh
a spot in the playoff.
Or Virginia, even, who's not ranked.
Wisconsin would still have a chance at the playoff. That's the thing.
So would Minnesota, technically.
Yeah. That's true. There are a lot of scenarios that we would be talking about, and it would open up a whole new world for a lot of teams that we just don't talk about this time of year. And all they got to do is get over themselves. Get over your hurt feelings. You're not letting Greg Sankey win if you approve the playoff plan he helped make. Do the thing that will help your league and that 12 team with six. Six at-larges and six auto bids, that helps your league. Whatever league you're in, it helps your league. So hopefully they'll be doing that. But for now, I think Matt and I agree, There are 12 teams with a at least semi-plausible path to the playoff. There are 3 weeks left of the regular season. We're coming down the home stretch, baby.
I can't wait. I can't wait. Can't remember a season where like this much was on the line with so little time left.
It's going to be fun. And I don't even care that they did something silly for the TV show. They gave us something to talk about. So I guess thank you. And we'll talk to you later.